I saw a movie this week, and I read the book earlier, and it was about, it's called The Ragamuffin Gospel, and it was a really good movie. I mean, and it kind of talks to me about, you know, our God is an awesome God, He reigns. And the man who wrote that, Rich Mullins, he was saved. He loved God, but he was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. And you know, just he had issues. And you know what? We all have issues, right? Anybody not have issues? You can come up here and preach, because, you know, well, no, I better not say that. Somebody might take me up on it. But look at this verse, and I want to talk to you about something today, and it's kind of a continuation of last week with a different slant to it. Verse 12 says, "Not that I've already attained, nor am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehend, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." As we said last week, you can't go forward if you're holding on to the past. Right? But I want to talk to you about a few people today, but I want to talk to you from the perspective that everybody that you read about in the Bible, they were all real like you and me. They sneezed. Right? They did things that, you know, you mean Abraham? Yeah. He did all the things that you do. He had his problems. He had his struggles. But if we want to go forward, we have to deal with some things from our past, even though we don't remember our past. But you know what? If you don't deal with your past remains. And I'm specifically talking about pain. Things that have been done either by you or to you. If you don't deal with that, it's going to come out in some way.
Sure.
Right? I've known people that look, you know, gone into the hospital, they look fine on the outside, no wounds, nothing, but they're septic on the inside because they have an inward infection that hasn't healed. See? And what happens is we have to come to the place where we say, God, and this is really cool because God's waiting for this, I need to be real with you. And in my quiet time, I need to get alone with you and have you reveal to me what's really going on. Because there's patterns in my life that I don't understand. And I can tell you that a lot of those patterns have to do with pain that's been hasn't been dealt with. But Jesus came to set the captive free and to heal the brokenhearted. I got this view of a person in the lake, and they've got a boat, and the boat's filling with water. And so they got a bucket in the boat, and they're just bailing as fast as they can. But it doesn't matter how much they bail, there's still water in the boat. And so they're bailing, and they're bailing, and they're bailing, and they're bailing. And then it comes to mind that they just heard the infomercial and went and bought the tape that will magically seal holes. So they whipped it out, and they threw the water, they slammed the patch down. And when that patch, no more water was coming in. So the bailing was effective because the damage had been sealed. See, a lot of us have been to God and we've been asking God to heal us and we've been trying things, but we still are bailing because we haven't let God fix the pain that's been causing the leak. See, and God wants to do that with us. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Very familiar story, and we could talk in a lot of different ways about it, but I want to speak to this in light of what I'm talking about this morning. As we're going there, did you know that all pain comes out some way? Right? If it's something that's, you know, under the skin, it's or maybe deep, you're so used to it that it doesn't mean anything to you. But if you're always angry, if you're always depressed, if you're always, you know, we could talk about chemical imbalances, and I'm not putting anybody in a hole, but I'm telling you that really, even physical things sometimes are a result of emotional pain. And God wants us to get to the point where we're free from that. So 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel?" And real, I just did a little caveat that Saul was rejected because he didn't deal with his pain. "Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." So Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I named to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" See, he had a reputation. He didn't mess with Samuel. Why? Because he represented God. And you don't represent holy. You don't mess with holy. He said, "Did we do something wrong? Or are you peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when he came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed him is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see the man as you see, but for the man looks out the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse went through and he called all of his sons, and nope. And verse 11, "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all these young men here? Are all the young men here?' He said, 'Well, there remains the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.'" Look at, first I want you to see, here's a picture of, well, he's the youngest. That's just David. "Here's my valuable sons. Here's the son I don't value so much." So we're first being introduced to David. He had some wounds because he was the unlikely one. It's not very likely that God would ever use me because I'm this or I'm that. How many have ever felt unlikely? I can't do that. God could never use me. That might never happen. Right? Well, I'm telling you that feeling that was put into you by the circumstances is a cause of pain that you may not recognize because it's your truth based on your reality. The truth will set you free, but it's not the truth that you know, because the truth that you know may not be the right truth. If you believe that you're less than and not likely for something that God could use to do something awesome, it's because your truth is not correct. And at the source of that untruth is the pain that was intended to take you out. So here comes David. They anoint him. They do all that. And can't you imagine David's going, "Woo, that's awesome, man. Poured the whole thing of oil over me, and I'm anointed of the Lord now." So everything should change for him, right? His brothers were there. His dad was there. They should go, "Woo! Look at him. Isn't he awesome?" But that didn't happen. Just like it may not happen for you when God speaks to your heart about who you are. You might go, "This is who I am." And others might go, "I don't think so." Slow that roll down. Come on. Go to chapter 17. And look at verse 17 and verse 20. And the story is that the Goliath had come and the army was fighting him, and all the brothers, all the big brothers had gone. And so verse 20, his dad sent him with some food. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his supplies in the hands of the keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Man, can't you just imagine his brothers going, "Woo, there's God's anointed. God's anointed has come." See, because his brothers saw him in the pain of his wounding, and that's who he was, because that's the way he'd always presented himself. That's the little brother. He's a sheep keeper. He has no value. So look at verse 23. And as he talked with them, there was a champion of the Philistines, Gath, Goliath by name, coming from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and his father's house exemption from these taxes in Israel." That sounds pretty good. Then David spoke to the men and stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for this man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner and said, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard, and when he spoke to the men, Eliab's anger was aroused against David. "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle." He had watched him be anointed. He watched the prophet come to him. And yet he still saw him as the little sheep herder. Why? Because the hurt was still activated in. Did you know that hurt can be built upon? Like, if you've been rejected, and I'm going to go through a few things, and all of us have had them. All of us have been rejected. All of us have been belittled. All of us have been, you know, abandoned. All of us have had, you know, offenses. All of us have had some of these things. But here's the problem. Things that haven't been dealt with remain and keep us from going forward. And today I want to tell you that God has already freed you from everything that you need to be freed from for you to be able to go forward. But you must recognize the source and use the word to plug the hole. Come on. So not only was David belittled, I mean, David was unlikely, he was also belittled. So David was unlikely and he was belittled in his brother's eyes, but he was anointed. And the way that he came across, watch this, is that he said, man, I can do this thing. Why? Because God is with me. God has anointed me. God has taken care of me. He didn't let the pain keep him from the future. Now watch this. But he didn't deal with all of the pain. And even though he saw victory, he didn't deal. And the enemy is one who will come and say, well, you've gotten a little victory, but here comes my foot on your head. Because I don't want this thing to get out of hand. And we go forward and you go to chapter 18. And Saul said, man, anybody that does this, I'm going to give my daughter no more taxes for his family. He's going to be great in the kingdom. David did that. And then Saul said, people are talking more about him than they are about me. And he got jealous of David. So the David that was like his own son, Saul rejected. So it was unlikely, he was belittled, and now he's rejected. Come on. And you know the story. He finally got to become king, but the pain was still there. How do I know? Because pain will always come out by behavior that shouldn't be there. You know, we want to figure out, and I'm not going to be simplistic, and there's some who could address this much greater than I. Why is that person an alcoholic? Well, they're predisposed to it and all that stuff, but really the reason they went down that road is they're trying to medicate the pain. It is an addiction problem, don't get me wrong, but it really is a pain problem. Because you can get somebody through a program, but if they don't deal with the pain, they're going to medicate some way else. It may not even be drugs with alcohol, but it'll be something else. Anything that you give yourself over to in a controlling way is because you're trying to mitigate the result of pain. And there's only one answer for that. There's only one answer for it. His name is Jesus. And he came to heal the brokenhearted. He's the only one who can. We could go to the scripture, but it'd take me too long. But look at this. You remember Bathsheba? Bathsheba was a result of David's pain coming out in sexual addiction. Because if he wasn't sexually addicted trying to relieve that pain of not being enough in who God had called him to be, he wouldn't be looking for something else to fulfill the need of his heart. Whew. But watch this. But God wasn't through with David, and God's not through with me. God's not through with an addict. God's not through with somebody who's fallen down a million times. But what God wants you to do is come to the truth of your pain so that he can deal with it. And you know the story. The story is that David got away with that, had Uriah murdered, all of that, and then came the time when he was having a party. He said, woo, glory to God, I got away with it. I'm cool, I'm the king, everything is good. Just one problem. The pain was still there and would come out in another way in the future if the pain wasn't dealt with. So what happened? God sent a prophet to David to expose the sin. Now, this might be just a little graphic, but forgive me. But sin is nothing but the pus of the pain. So God, does God want to deal with our sin? Absolutely, but it's not just because he's up there going, let me take this into account. Bruce did this, Bruce did that, Bruce did that, Bruce. No, God wants to deal with the pain so that the pus stops. Come on, that's so good. So he sent the prophet to deal not only with the sin issue, but with the pain issue. And so he got him to the place where David cried out in Psalm 51, amazing psalm. I think we should meditate on that, and especially when God begins to deal with us with something. And here's what I'm telling you, that you can go through all the counseling that you want to go through, and counseling is good. I have nothing wrong with counseling. But I believe when the issues come up, you need to spend quiet time with God. And say, God, you're my healer. And even if you recognize some symptomatic things or some patterns that keep happening over and over again, why isn't this, Lord, is there a source for this that I don't know about because it's viewed because of my reality? Holy Spirit, open me up to this. I've been doing that this week, and it's kind of scary. It's kind of painful. It's kind of like, wait a minute, maybe the reason that I'm not everywhere that I think I should be is because I'm still trapped by where I think I am, or I think who I am. Come on. If there's any guilt, if there's any condemnation, if there's any shame, if there's any that lingering in your heart, it's because the pain hasn't been dealt with. But Jesus has already done it. So where do we need to come to? We need to come to the one who knows us better than anybody else. Quit trying to medicate it with something else. You think, well, I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't watch pornography. Come on. How's your anger? Where's your peace at? Right? One that I deal with. How's your eating habits? Right? Because I'm an emotional eater. I didn't recognize it, but since the whole thing with the church went on, I put on about 20 pounds. See, I've tried to put 20 pounds. And I said, Lord, where did that come from? Well, we know where it came from. The candy, the brownies, the fudge, right? But watch this. It really wasn't from any of those things. It was I was medicating the pain instead of dealing with the pressure. How do you deal with that? How do you come to that? I believe God is exposing some things even in our own hearts this morning that he wants to free us from, right? But we have to do is say, okay, Lord, I trust you. This is really scary, but I trust you. I'm really seeing that this is the result of some things that I've either let slip or I've allowed. Come on, but I trust you. I trust you. And look, if you're not going to seek God for this for yourself, by all means, do it for the people that are around you. Amen. Because your pain is being exposed to them. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Jesus came to heal the pain. Right. He came to deal with the pain. And I just think, watch this again. I read a book years ago. I was helping somebody with PTSD, and I read a book years ago and had this little workbook, right? And the little workbook, it was awesome, because what the workbook did is it took the person back into the pain. Why? So that they could feel bad? No. So that it could be exposed. And then took Jesus with them into the pain. And let Jesus heal the pain at the source. Come on. Rather than trying to heal the symptoms. Now, just like us, the person that I was dealing with couldn't handle the exposure of the pain because they didn't realize that its very exposure was to point out the deception in it so that God could heal it. One more verse, then we'll close. Look, go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This story, you're going to go, man, what does this have to do with anything? It has everything to do with what I'm talking about this morning. I mean, I could have come in here and said, we got to have a great vision for 2020. We do. We got to do this and we got to do this year. This is the year of whatever. But I've been at it this for a while, and I figured out that the year of this and the year of that and the year of this are never going to happen unless I do something different. Amen. Right? They're just going to keep on going. My marriage is going to be the same. My family is going to be the same. The church is going to be the same. My finances, everything is going to be the same unless I do something different. Amen. So, let's go to verse 33. This is the whole story of Lazarus. Verse 33, and Jesus, when he saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now first, why was he troubled? Well, because they weren't really weeping for him. Oh, I'm going to say something. The tomatoes are downstairs, don't go get any. Have you ever thought about it? When we're grieving, and there's nothing wrong with grieving. Grieving is normal. Grieving is healthy. All of that. But especially as believers, we're not really grieving for the person who's passed on to glory. We're grieving for us. Right? Because if we really believe what we're going, man, I wouldn't have them come back for nothing. So, look, I was talking with Tom. He said, listen, if I die, don't you dare call me back. Right? But watch this. So he was grieved. Why? Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe. Verse 34. And he said to them, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. We're going to go out to his funeral plot. We're going to go out and see the stone. We're going to show you where he is. And the shortest verse in the scripture, Jesus wept. Just a side note, years ago, it was when I first got started in the ministry. That's 40 years ago, pretty much. When I first got started in the ministry, I was with some folks, and what they'd have us do is we'd be in a little training session, and they'd give us a verse and say, preach on that. Okay. Somebody gave me this verse. The Holy Spirit gave me something to preach. And I did. But watch this now. I didn't say it was good. I just preached. But anyway, Jesus wept. Then the Jews, see how he loved him? And some of them, could not this man who opened his eyes to the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again groaning in himself, going, come on, he's going, oh, you don't get it. I've been with you this long, you don't get it. You're not getting it, you're not getting it. Because things aren't the way they seem. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and the stone laid against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Now I want to tell you, Jesus has said to you that I have come to set you free. Jesus came and he said, "Listen, it's in me. There's life and life more abundantly." Jesus came to you and said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." He came to you, and through the Apostle Paul, he said, "You are accepted in the beloved." He said to you, "I've redeemed you and called you by name." He said to you, "By my stripes, you were healed." Come on. Has Jesus come to you? Has he spoken to you and told you that you are his own? Pain has kept you in the grave long enough. I said, pain has kept you from trusting in what God has told you. Now this morning, I believe this is God's response to us. Verse 41, "And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by this, that they may believe that you sent me.' And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" This morning, I believe God is saying to you, and he's saying to me, "Bruce, come forth." Come on, who are you? He's saying to you, "Come forth. Come on. Come on." And now watch this. "And when he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him," you see, you might look like to others that you're the same after today. And we might look at each other through our prejudiced eyes. Because I've seen your past, I know you, I've known you a long time. Right? But Jesus is saying, "Bring them out. They're wrapped up. They may look the same, but something's different." And Jesus said, "Loose them and let them go." It's time for the grave clothes to come off this morning. In your heart, trust God. Go to God. Spend time with God in your quiet place. Don't stuff your pain anymore, but say, "God, you're the healer of my pain, but I need to see where the source is so that I can plug the hole with your word so that it doesn't continue in my future. Because I'm going to press on to who you've called me to be and to do what you've called me to do." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for everything that you've done for us. Lord, I want to yield my heart to you right now. And I pray that everybody who's heard these words that I've tried to speak, Lord, that they've heard from your Spirit and you're speaking to each one. You're not speaking to condemn them, Lord, but you're wanting to deal with the anger issues. You're wanting to deal with the rejection issues. You're wanting to deal with the abandonment issues. So, Lord, this morning, we just want to be honest with you. We want to be in your presence, but we're coming to your presence just as we are. And we're asking you, I'm asking you for myself, show me what you see so that I can be who you have said that I am. Lord, I'm asking it for every person that's in this room. And Holy Spirit, only you can do this, but I believe you're doing it. I believe this is from you. I sense your presence so strong over your word this morning that, Father, you want to get people out of their graves. Talk to the Holy Spirit right now. Yield to the Spirit of God right now. Let him rip off the Band-Aid and get to the core of the pain so that the infection can be gone. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your bitterness is just a symptom of your rejection. I just command your rejection to be healed by his acceptance right now, in Jesus' name. Yeah, thank you, Lord. There's disease in you that's there because you view yourself as less than, unworthy, not valuable. Come on, let God touch that, because we're not more valuable than we think we should be, but we're valued because he values us. So don't worry about getting a big head. Let him heal your heart this morning. We're letting go of every single thing that keeps us from knowing the truth. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray over every heart here. And Lord, I just release people from their pain of their past, and we release the pain to you, Lord. Even though the pain is comfortable, we know it, and it's kind of like it's familiar to us, so we just keep it around. Jesus is here to loose you from the pain right now. Just receive it right now. He's here to do it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All of you, pray this with me. But pray it from your heart and mean it. Say, Father God, I'm coming to you right now. Just as I am. I see myself through lenses that aren't really clear. I ask you, Lord, I give you permission to open my heart right here, right now. I accept your truth as the truth. And I speak to all of the work of the enemy that's tried to kill, steal, and destroy in my life. And I say to you, you're under the blood. You have no power over me. I reject rejection. I reject abandonment. I reject it. I reject shame. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I offer my heart to you. I trust you with my heart. I thank you, Lord, for changing me from the inside out by your Spirit. Right now, peace has come to hearts that came in turmoil. Just soak in that. Just soak in that. I'm telling you, if the heavens open and we're all raptured out of here today, because Jesus is the Lord of your life, you'd stand before his presence completely shameless, because you'd be healed of your pain. I speak healing at the deepest level in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll worship with the song. Father, we thank you for the food downstairs. We call it blessed because you're blessing it. We're grateful for it. We thank you for the provision of it. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Lila, I wouldn't mind that last song again. And I just want you to sing this from your heart. It's a new song. You might not have heard it before. But just listen to the words. If you need prayer for anything else, I'd be happy to pray with you. God is here to touch you. But let's just worship together with this song, and then we'll pray.